From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 16th day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. And then a bit later in the program, the folks at the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Logansport, Indiana, will join us to take a look at the cash grain market. Naturally, on a Wednesday, we'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and we'll hear about Mare's Tale today from Aaron Hager, weed scientist at the University of Illinois. Many of you have probably been seeing that ugly weed in your soybean fields. Aaron has some tips on what to do this fall about controlling it for the next growing season. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. It's sponsored by you, our listeners. More on what you can do to help in a moment.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's check the numbers on this Wednesday afternoon as they finished up in Chicago. Settlement prices in the corn pit were lower than nearby December at $4.42¾, down 0.75¢. The March contract at $4.55¼, down 0.5. And May contracted $4.63¼, 0.75¢ lower. July futures down 0.25¢ at $4.70¼. And next year's December corn, $4.76, the settlement price there down 1½¢. Soybeans were gainers today. November contract up 9½ at $12.76½. January 12.74¾, up 8¾. March futures at $12.63¼, 7½ higher, and the May contract in the bean pit at $12.48¾, up 4¾. July futures $12.46¼, 6¼ higher. November contract for next year at $11.68½, 3¾¢ higher. Bean meal futures finished the day at $403.80, $1.40 higher. Bean oil at $41.37. up 71¢. The soft red winter wheat finished the July at $6.84¼, down 4½, and the hard red in the harvest month at $7.27½, down 7¼. Live cattle futures in the October at $129.30, up 80. December 50 higher at $133.25. October feeders at $166, up 30¢. November at $167.72½, up 22½. Lean hogs finished the December at $88.80, up a dollar even. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. November contract $102.32 a barrel, $1.11 higher. The Arbobo wholesale price of gasoline at $2.70¾¢. Up 4¾¢. Ethanol futures at $1.80½¢. That's 2½¢ higher. The difference between the two is now 89¢. That's 2½¢ wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.77¢, 1½¢ lower, and the diesel fuel on the afternoon at $3.43¢, up 2¢. Gold futures trading $1,282 as they closed out the day, $9 higher, and the U.S. dollar at 80.47 on its last trade, 10-minute delay, down 0.006 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. This afternoon, a mostly cloudy sky, a high of just 59 degrees. We'll have to hump to get there because it's only 51 at the moment. West winds at about 16 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 24. And then this evening, a 30% chance of rain showers after 1 a.m. in the morning. Mostly cloudy, a low of 41 degrees. Thursday, a 40% chance of showers, mainly before 1 in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy, a high of just 63 tomorrow, and then light southwest winds at 8 to 13 miles an hour. Thursday evening, partly cloudy and a low of 41. Friday, sunny skies and 63. Friday evening, a 30% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy and 42. Saturday, Sunday and 60. Saturday night, cloudy and 39. And Sunday, mostly sunny and 58 degrees. Sunday evening, partly cloudy and 42. And as we begin the work week, sunny skies and 59 degrees and then 43 on Monday night. Sunny skies again on Tuesday and 59. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. It is the 16th day of October, 2013.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for Wednesday afternoon. Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm not as busy as you were today because I know you made a trip up north, and I like to talk about these sometime. You will be on Orion's show over the weekend, right?
Right.
Excellent.
Right.
So yeah. You went up and recorded with Orion this morning. I hope you had an enjoyable time up there. He's really good at what he does. And did you find out anything new this morning?
Well, Max was also there, so I had the opportunity to be on the show with both of them. Did I find out anything new? They were more interested, I guess, in what I knew than anything else. They were
That's
wondering
what we
about,
do, isn't it? We
yeah,
ask questions. Crop
progress, you know, and things like that, and what, you know, what we're thinking about, what may or may not happen if we don't get an agreement tonight, and those types of things.
Yeah, but, well, that probably is top of mind. It appears the Senate has come to some conclusion, and that the House may very well agree, and that the president will sign some legislation that, I guess, kicks the can a little further down the road, I suppose, as far as it goes.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I mean, you know, I think one of the things that came out today on the program when we talked was Max asked, he said, you know, everybody always assumed everybody could get along without the USDA, and he thinks this 2 weeks has certainly proven that that's not necessarily the truth. We can get a lot of, you can get information, but it's fragmented information, and it kind of brings the market or the traders to a halt because we can go on for so long, but that's about it. All of a sudden you start to really run out of things that you can go back to and look at. And
yeah, so, it seemed that was coming to a head at this point in this week, right?
Oh, it certainly seemed that way. You know, you saw simple things going on like unwinding of spreads like yesterday. They were unwinding out of the bean and spreads with corn and wheat. Today we saw some spreads coming back in place again. You know, just very, very safe, very quiet type of trade. Not anybody too interested in sticking their neck out too far.
In fact, on that note, I wondered what the November crop production reports and the WASDE numbers might look like. I called and talked to Bill Turney earlier today and recorded that. It won't really matter too much whether the Congress and the U.S. government's back to work because they will have to work quickly. Bill worked at the World Agricultural Outlook Board for about 3 or 4 years and went through some of the process and what the World Agricultural Outlook Board can do with WASDE numbers, even if there isn't a crop production figure for the month of November.
Yeah,
so we'll put that into Commodity Week, and it'll be up on the website, of course, on our radio stations over the weekend. He says WASDE can do its job, but it's better, of course, if the crop production figures are there. Hey, let's talk about some of the other things that are around. Even without USDA, export sales guesses are out?
They are. In fact, they just came out just a little bit ago. They're expecting corn 650,000 to 850,000, beans 950,000 to 1.1 million, and wheat at 550,000 to 850,000. So, you know, very strong exports, no question about that. And I think that's what all of us are dying to find out is, did China really take advantage of this opportunity and buy a whole bunch of corn without impacting the futures?
Isn't that the one that everybody wants to know? Was China in the marketplace? And I guess we'll find out eventually, but it'll take some time.
Well, I think it will. The biggest question I have, Todd, right now is if USDA, let's say we go back to work tomorrow or they go back to work the next day, they should have had all of the October information accumulated already. Will they actually put that out to us? That's the big thing that I have wondering in my mind, because, you know, the wild card that we're up against is, you know, what's harvested acreage, what's their estimated yield, and the implications that has, you know, for the overall direction of the marketplace.
Would you want to see it?
I would. I would like to
see it. Do you
think
everybody will want to see those numbers? I mean,
I think traders want to see it. Yes, I do. I think that even though we have a November report that's not that far down the pike, this would still be information that it's vital information. That October report is an extremely important report to us. At the very least, we would have more current FSA numbers, you know, all of that. And so I think it would just lead into it. I want to see it. Let's put it that way.
All right. So what else do we have going on in the marketplace? Things are happening in Mexico, right?
Oh, yes. You know, on the 10th, you know, that we have all of this excitement about the possibility of China buying corn, and now we have a federal judge down in Mexico that banned Monsanto and DuPont Pioneer from selling any GMO seed or doing any commercial plots down there, anything of that sort. And you know, that isn't a small thing. A lot of people don't realize that Japan actually has been buying more corn this last year than what we've seen coming out of, Mexico than coming out of Japan. And that's, you know, that's an extremely important market to us. So I'm hoping that the next step is not going to be banning anything coming into the country, because that certainly could have an impact on us.
And they have an insect problem, too?
Well, that's Brazil. Brazil's got a major insect problem, and this is kind of, this is a new phenomenon for that. This was found in Bahia earlier in the year. I talked with Dr. Cornier yesterday, and he was telling me about this. He said they have the corn earworm, which is also known as the boll worm and that type of thing. And it's kind of interesting how two words can mean something totally different. Earworm actually means a repeating song in your head. In this particular case, it's repeatedly taking money out of their pocket because they didn't even have an insecticide. It has absolutely no natural predators down in South America at all. And right now, it's spread across all of central Brazil. They know that. In fact, they're warning the bean farmers at this point in time because, you know, that worm can actually survive on up to 180 different varieties of plants. We see them in our gardens at times on tomatoes. You see them all over the place. And this is just something brand new down there for them. They actually went to the government, asked to have pesticides brought in, you know, to get the okay because they're so concerned about it because it's such a voracious leaf eater. And he put it, you know, this could be very similar in terms of impact as what Asian rust was. Up in Bahia, they actually lost about $89 million last year due to damage from this earworm. And, you know, that they not only have to spray now for rust, but now they're going to have to deal with this, and which ultimately does is drive their cost of production higher. You know, so, again, the playing field becomes more level sometimes. You know, before Asian rust, we didn't have a very level playing field because we had a lot of problems. And now they're starting to see some other problems coming in. So just another thing that, you know, makes it more difficult, I guess, no matter if you're a producer or wherever you are. There's always something around the corner you have to deal with.
And finally, a quick word on the livestock. The troubles in South Dakota are making their way into the mercantile exchange.
Oh, there's no question about that. And yet, you know, when you look at 60,000 head of cattle in the bigger picture, it's really not that huge a number. One of the things that I truly believe is I think we probably have more bulls in the offices right now than we have out in the fields because technicals look pretty strong for cattle. There's no question about that. My comeback is always the same, and that is if you're going to manage risk, you really should have some puts in place. Just try to remember when we went back up to that 138, 137 area, what happened? We closed up a plant down in Texas, and we just crashed. We can't take that kind of chance. I mean, it's one of those situations where it's okay to be bullish, but you have to still be a risk manager. And we do have cattle on feed estimates that actually are out, too. On feed, 92.7, placements 101, and marketing's 104. So if those numbers come in, that would also be very supportive to cattle.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Wednesday afternoon. Time for you to join us as well by dialing this number, 217-244-9455, and pledging your financial support to the agricultural programming that comes to you every business day of the year, plus one day every week on the weekend of the year, too, with Commodity Week. We try really hard to bring you all kinds of good marketing information. If it's important to you, we hope that you will pick up the phone now and that you will help us out at 217-244-9455. Les Schulte is in the studio with us to tell us why that's so very important.
It is important, Todd, and we know that, boy, these last several weeks here have been nothing but uncertain, if anything, and that's got to be, and that's disturbing to a lot of people, especially if you're in the agricultural business. But you depend on WILL to be here to get the information you need so that you can Weather these storms. Get yourself situated. Find out what you need to do. Get the opinion on professional analysts across the country. And not just one opinion, but a variety of opinions. And we think that's important. And you tell us that's important. That's why we're trying to deliver this information back to you the best we can in a variety of forms, on the radio, on the web, through an e-newsletter, on the phone, however you want to use this service. We're there for you with the information you're looking for. And we're looking for a small investment back from you so that we can continue to do these services for you. Think about making a $6 a month investment. That's $72 a year. Think about a dollar a day, though. Do you get a dollar a day worth of value from this agricultural service that you hear on the radio here at WILL? If you believe you do, why don't you make a $365 a year investment in this station? That's just about a little over $30 a month.
Yeah, and when you do, if we hear from 100 of you this week, we will have a little help from our friends, as the folks in the Beatles band would tell us, including the Andersons and Bates Commodities, Stuart Peterson, the Champaign County Office, Strategic Farm Marketing, a couple of others as well, and they will put $2,250 extra into the kitty, and well, that's nothing to sneeze at. So we really want you to call right now. This is quick and simple. It's really easy to do. American Express, Discover, MasterCard, Visa, all those things. Write us a check. Just call, make the pledge. Make sure you do tell them that you're supporting agriculture. That's important to us, and make sure that the operator knows it. The number to call is 217-244-9455.
Or if you'd rather make that pledge online, just go to willpledge.org. It's simple. It's easy. It takes about 2, maybe 3 minutes of your time, but it's going to mean so much to what you're going to hear on the radio. And you're not doing this alone. There are thousands of people throughout Central Illinois, thousands of listeners who use this service, these stations that support public radio in Central Illinois, and it's by you coming together and doing what you can. We're just asking you to do what you can, make a small investment. You decide the value of this service, and then give us a call at 217-244-9455. You'll help us meet this agricultural challenge we have this fall from AgriGold and Bates Commodities and Stuart Peterson, the Champaign County branch, the Champaign Strategic Farm Marketing, and the Andersons. They'll add that $2,250 to our pledge total. That pays for a lot of agricultural services that we can provide for you right here. And all we're asking you to do is what you can right now. 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, let's check the cash grain markets on this Wednesday afternoon. Friestoffer is on the phone line from the Andersons facility in Delphi, Indiana. Actually, at the Logansport, Indiana, the Clymers facility there. Good afternoon to you, Bree. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am very, very good. Have farmers finished up soybeans in your area?
Yes, we are approaching, I'd say we're 85 to 90% complete for the most part. We did get a little bit of rain that kept us out of the fields late afternoon yesterday, but trucking right along.
And the general consensus about the yields and what it looked like for the season?
Yes, very good. I mean, you have some on the low side and some on the high sides, and you come up with an average in between, but still overall not the best ever, but pretty darn good.
And have the end user stopped hunting finally for soybeans?
I think the weather pattern has kept them in a constant need and desire to have the beans because we didn't have an onslaught of beans to come in. So the processor basis hasn't faded quite like we anticipated.
I'm surprised by that. Are your expectations that it will, or is it going to stay strong?
I think at this point, we've seen kind of the lows in on the basis side of things for beans. And then on the corn side, I do feel like there could be some more negativity as we hit corn harvest really hard next week when on-farm space starts to fill up.
How far along do you suppose producers in the area are?
Oh, I'd call it 55 to 60.
And basis at this point, you're expecting to weaken next week. What kind of bids do you have for the day?
Yep, our cash price in the Clymers right now, we're at a 424 cash price in Delphi beans, at around a 12.56 cash price and the 4.24 level as well about on corn. So that's kind of, we're in the 4.25 range for cash corn.
I don't suppose that is making farmers smile very much. Are they mostly putting it away and locking the doors?
Yields are helping, but they will lock up every, they'll fill those bins to the brim.
Okay, thanks so much, Bree.
No problem.
And that's Bree Stauffer. She's with the Andersons at their Climbers facility in Logansport and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon. Hey, have you taken time yet? We'll ask you again if it is not an absolute time for you to do this. Wait till you get to the end of the field or when you get pulled over. Be safe, however you do it. But dial in your support to us at 217-244-9455. You know, Dave Dickey and I try really hard in lots of ways to bring you all kinds of marketing information. We spend some time in the evenings with you doing the Ag Outlook panels, bringing the analysts that you hear regularly here on our programming to you. What I've made note of in the last several years is that many of the folks that are on our air are starting to show up many other places. Why? Because they're really, really good. That's why. Once somebody is really good, they begin to become popular. We're glad that that has happened, but we had them first, and they're here all the time, and they're here every week, and we do appreciate having them. They volunteer their service and their time so that you can have some good marketing information. Of course, they like to work with you as well. So do we, and we hope that you think it's really important. If it is, we need to now, and not later, not tomorrow, not the next day. If you want, you can call then, but now is really the important time for us. At 217-244-9455. Take a moment, stop the combine, get out of the semi, get off the tractor. When the auger wagon's not running, make sure everything's shut down and dial that phone, 217-244-9455. This is really simple and easy to do. It's really important to do. And when you do this week, Les Schulte, mm-hmm. the folks that we just talked about that have become so popular in many parts of the world and on farm broadcasters' list to talk about the marketplace, will help out this week.
They will. The Andersons is involved in our challenge this week. They're joining forces with Strategic Farm Marketing and Stuart Peterson, the Champaign County branch. Jackie Vakes was on earlier. Bates Commodities and AgriGold Hybrids. They're putting together a fund worth $2,250. They're going to add that to our pledge total at the end of the drive, which ends on Friday. And then we can add that to our pledge total, but we need to hear from 100 people this week who will say, you know what, I support this station. Agricultural is one of the services I really appreciate. So mention that when you call in your pledge or when you're pledging online, and then we can add your name, and we're on a roll. We'll add that money to your money, and that's how we make these services available to you.
Well, that's how we roll. We try to double it up and make it all work for us and for you. And, well, it's important to us that you call in right now at 217-244-9455. Don't delay. We're looking for 100 folks, and we're running a little bit behind for the week. I know we are. But you've been busy. When you get the time, whether it's right now or 15 minutes from now or half an hour from now
or tonight.
Whenever, just go online or dial the number online at willag.org. Hit contribute now up at the top of the page, and there's a little place you can do agriculture. If you call in at 217-244-9455, exactly the same thing. However you do it, it's important that you do it this week. Pledge your financial support to us. We sure do appreciate it. Thank you so much for your pledge.
It's National Roast Pheasant Day. The pheasant was not native to the U.S., but rather was first imported in 1733. But it was not until 1881 when some 100 pairs of Chinese ring-necked pheasants were released in Oregon that the bird gained a foothold in America. On this day in agricultural history in 1874, child labor and child abuse issues caught public attention in the U.S. when a 9-year-old child named Mary Ellen was found in the home of her guardian suffering from malnutrition, serious physical abuse, and neglect. But there were no child laws on the books, So the court ruled against the Guardian, turning to laws that regulate pets. Prosecutors argued Mary Ellen was a member of the animal kingdom. By the way, early attempts at child labor laws excluded agriculture. In 1889, Sir Daniel Gooch died, an American railway pioneer and inventor. He laid the first successful transatlantic cable, allowing telegraphic communication between the U.S. and Europe. And in 1930, Herbert Henry Dow died, an American chemist and industrialist. He was a pioneer in the U.S. chemical industry, and he founded the Dow Chemical Company. As a young man, Dow entered the fledgling chemical industry in the 1890s by inventing a method of extracting bromide from prehistoric brine trapped underground in Midland, Michigan. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. If you have not dialed in yet at 217-244-9455 on this Wednesday afternoon, now is the time to do it because it's the right thing to do. Again, 217-244-9455. Let's check now the weather forecast. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated is on the phone line today. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Thanks so much for taking the time with us. It's cold out, I think, this morning when I rode my motorcycle in and I went across campus at the noon hour for lunch, and it seemed like it got colder even then. Tell me about the weather forecast, please.
Yeah, absolutely. It is getting cooler, and the cloud cover is not helping any at all. When you get this time of the year and we start changing air masses like this and you get the cloudiness around, the winds start blowing, and we're all, of course, acclimated to much warmer weather. It is a real chill out there. And temperatures at the top of this hour mostly running in the 50s across the parts of the Midwest, even some 40s out off to the northwest. So the forecast here is going to continue to keep the cool air around now for a while. We are not going to see a tremendous volume of precipitation, but we will have a risk of showers on a near daily basis as we move forward through the end of the week and into the weekend. The situation is basically the cool air is coming in and chilling the atmosphere and squeezing moisture out. As each new round of cooler air arrives, it just condenses a little bit more moisture. So we're not looking at a major storm system here, but we will have two or three little disturbances between now and Sunday that will wander across the region and produce anywhere from a few hundredths of an inch upwards to maybe a couple tenths of an inch of moisture. But really, to be honest with you, I don't think we're going to see much in the way of real significant precipitation until maybe on Saturday into Sunday. At that point in time, we'll probably see a small disturbance that will produce upwards to a quarter of an inch of rain in a couple spots. The bottom line, unfortunately, though, from a harvest perspective, especially from a soybean perspective, is that there's still just enough moisture out there to interfere with field work periodically. And so that's the biggest concern right now. It just takes a little bit of moisture to cause a problem with those harvesters. So we may not see as much aggressive harvest progress over these next several days as we've seen in the past, but progress will still be made.
Will nighttime lows be low enough to end the growing season for some plants?
In the upper parts of the Midwest, yes, but the lower Midwest, no. Most of the freezes will occur this weekend. It will be fairly significant. It will be in the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, maybe down into parts of Iowa. There's a small chance we could get a stronger storm system to evolve as we get into the weekend. And if that happens, we'll pull some of that cold air just a little further south. But it won't get into the heart of Illinois, most likely, and it will probably stay out of most of the eastern portions of the Midwest in general. But certainly in the northwestern and west central parts of the Corn Belt, we do see the potential for low temperatures in the 20s and 30s.
And finally, a quick word on springtime in South America.
Brazil seeing a very good mix of rain and sunshine right now and will continue to do so over the next 2 weeks. So they will see aggressive planting and a good established crop as we move forward. Argentina, unfortunately, is still struggling with dryness, at least from their perspective. It's unfortunate that the situation there is going to be one that will continue to offer some showers periodically, but it does not look like there's going to be enough rain to soak down the subsoil, which is still very short of moisture in some of the west central and northwestern parts of that country.
That's Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Keep dialing the number 217-244-9455 in support of agriculture. Have a great and safe afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.